Praise God. Mark chapter 16, reading from verse 14. Mark 16, reading from verse 14. Afterward, meaning after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. And this is why he upbraided them, or he rebuked them. He began to scold them because of their unbelief, because they believed not just about his words of what he prophesied and told them about what would happen, his death and his resurrection, but also because they had not believed them which witnessed the fulfillment of that miracle and the prophecy. Said you didn't believe them which had seen him after he was risen. And he also went as far as to charge them. Now he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm so thankful of this terminology. I understand that this is a King James translation, King James version. But it, when it says every creature, it's not necessarily saying when you go home today, you need to preach this gospel to your dog. Not your pet hamster, not the five cats you got. There's no cat people in here, praise God. I know there is, but we love you anyway. Amen. Amen. But it's not telling you to preach the gospel to animals. It's saying preach the gospel to every kind of person. No matter what race, socioeconomic status, no matter who they are. Amen. Everybody needs this word, this message, this gospel. And out of those that preach and out of those that hear, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So this Bible verse is telling us that believing only does not save you. Amen. I need you to hear that today. I know there are many things that are taught in mainstream Christianity or things that you have probably surmised on your own or maybe have been taught from a previous ministry that you've been a part of, but the Bible says he that believeth and is baptized. Amen. And that's not just talking about water baptism. It's talking about spirit baptism as well. Amen. Water baptism takes care of the sins of your mortal body. Praise God. Spirit baptism regenerates your spiritual man. Amen. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. He has given them what we would call the Great Commission, and that things would begin to happen as they go and preach and teach. This is the same instance where he tells them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is the same setting where he has given them this commission. Praise God, this great commission. And he also says, as you preach, when there is belief, signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, not purposefully, not in church services. And if they drink any deadly thing, not purposefully, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are things that will happen as we go. These are signs, and these are different things that will happen as a witness to the message. Amen. The miraculous follows the message. Amen. And when the message is being communicated to those that hear, when there is faith mixed with that message and obedience, the Bible says signs will follow. Amen. Amen. And it didn't happen automatically as he told them. They didn't go out the next day and start doing this stuff. Amen. He told them to wait for the promise of the Father. And so there was some time that went by. Amen. And so God had to build a momentum into that message. Amen. It was for the purpose of the message. I know miracles happened, but miracles are to place power behind the message. Amen. Amen. I don't have this in my notes, but I recall in the Bible it talks about where Elijah went and he began to service a woman who had a son, and that son had died. Bible says Elijah stretched himself over that son. The dead things come alive. And the Bible says a miracle happened and that little boy came back to life, was raised from the dead. And the woman said, now I know that the word in thy mouth is true because of the miracle that I've seen. Amen. So that miraculous power isn't just so we can celebrate what God can do, because the truth is you can be healed and go to hell. But it's for the message, so that you may believe, and not just believe, but respond in faith to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sometimes those things don't happen automatically. Amen. Sometimes there's a momentum. Praise God. And I want to talk about that today. There's a momentum for the message. Momentum for the message. Amen. Lift your hands and let's ask God to speak to us today. And through his spoken word, expressed word, that we will mix that word with faith. And we'll respond in obedience to the word. We'll open our hearts to receive what you're pouring out in this room, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're looking for it. We lift our expectation that you can do all things and nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, perform the impossible, Lord. Those that are needing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we speak it, Lord. We prophesy that they will respond to the word and open up their hearts and their minds and their souls to receive the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that they'll respond and not delay, hallelujah, to be baptized in water, washing away their sins in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll thank you in advance, hallelujah, for all that you're going to do today, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and give God a praise. If you're expecting him to be nothing less than who he is, hallelujah. Today, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. It was earlier this year as I began to look at this scripture and the narrative and timeline of these events, that there were some things that stood out to me regarding the events surrounding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate it around Easter, and that is around the time that that culture in that day, the Israelite and Jewish culture, would celebrate what we may know today as the Passover. That Passover was instituted all the way back in the Old Testament when the Israelites were in Egypt and God smote the enemies of Israel. And one of the last plagues, if you will, was the plague of the firstborn being smitten and put to death by a death angel that was not from the devil, it was from God. And God would release this death angel, and every home that had the blood of a innocent and perfect sacrifice, a lamb, that would be put on the post of the doors of every home, that home would be spared from sudden and certain death. Hallelujah. And so they instituted what is known as the Passover, because this death angel, when it sees the blood, it would pass over that home, and that home would survive. That home would be spared from judgment. And that was what we would call a foreshadow. It was a type of things to come. And that thing that was to come was to be the ultimate sacrifice that was innocent and perfect in nature, which was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so as the disciples and Jesus was celebrating and commemorating this feast and this this ceremony of Passover, they had a meal that we also call the Last Supper. It was a Passover meal. And usually that would happen on a Wednesday. And so they would have this meal on a Wednesday, and the process of events would follow. After the meal, Jesus would go into a place of prayer that the Bible says was his custom. He was wont, or it was his custom, to pray in this Garden of Gethsemane. And this place of prayer he would go to, and after seasons of prayer, in the wee hours of the morning, there would be soldiers that would come and apprehend him. And they would bring him in front of all of the officials and the priests of that day, those that had decision-making power toward judgment. And he would be wrongfully accused. And we know the story of him being condemned to crucifixion because of this. Now, that all of that would have happened the day after this Passover meal. So if that Passover meal happened on a Wednesday, that means this process of events and the judgment and the trial would have happened the following day, and he would have been put to death the following day. Now, I don't say that to challenge your tradition or our tradition as Americans, that we celebrate a Good Friday, and there's nothing bad about Friday. Jesus just didn't die on Friday. Just saying. According to how Scripture is laid out, because the Bible says that Jesus would be in the heart of the earth, or he would be buried 3 days and three nights. And if that be true, and he would raise, as Matthew 28 says, early Sunday morning, he couldn't have died on a Friday, especially with all this data here. He most likely died on a Thursday. Amen. Was buried, and 3 days later rose from the grave with all power in his hands. Amen. And let's say thank you, Lord. Amen. The Bible also says in the book of Acts chapter 1 that when Jesus rose from the grave, that he showed himself alive. He just rise from the grave, then speak to the disciples, then disappear on the same day. It was a process of events. He showed himself alive after this death, and he was seen of people. He showed himself by many infallible proofs. People could not refute the fact that he was risen. Amen. Even Thomas, who doubted what people had said, and even Jesus being there in front of him, he still couldn't wrap his mind around the fact that Jesus could rise from that kind of thing. And he said, until I see the scars. And Jesus began to show all of those scars, and he believed. But all that didn't happen the day he resurrected. The Bible says he showed himself alive for 40 days walking amongst people. 40 days. So if we do the math here and count from when Jesus would have died that day after Passover all the way till the day of this commission in Mark chapter 16, Matthew 28, wherever you want to resource that, it would have been about 43 days. 43 days. And the 50th day after the Passover is a celebration called Pentecost. This is where we source the origins and the birth of what we now know today as the church. Amen. And so this church was established on the day of Pentecost. So 43 days passed after that Last Supper, amen, and on this 44th day would have started a journey for those that heard what Jesus said. It was hundreds of them that witnessed this resurrection, and he commissioned all of them. And the first day they went to Jerusalem like Jesus asked them to, said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John baptized with water, but the Holy Ghost, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. And so he commissioned them to go to Jerusalem and wait. So on that 44th day, it began a seven-day journey to what we know as the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. So they were in that upper room and waiting and tarrying on that first day. And they would have been full of faith knowing that Jesus just rose from the grave. We saw him after he suffered all of those things. And every one of us would have been just like those disciples, full of faith and expectation that God is going to give us power power, hallelujah, to display the kingdom, and signs are going to follow us, hallelujah. We're going to speak with new tongues. They would have believed all of that. We're going to see the sick healed. We're going to see the dead raised, amen. If snakes try to come up in service, we're not going to handle them. We're going to throw them out, praise God, hallelujah. We're not going to drink any deadly thing, amen. And if we do, unawares, we're not going to be harmed, praise God. All these signs would follow the believer, hallelujah. And on the second day, they probably would have believed the same thing in that upper room. But on the third day, there probably would have been some that would have been getting a little weary in their faith. On the fourth day, there would have been some that might have left. On the fifth day and the sixth day, more people would have begun to give up on this, this promise that was to come. Jesus said it would happen, but I've been waiting for a while now. Hallelujah. And I haven't seen what God said. I want to encourage somebody today that if God said it, you're going to see it. Hallelujah. 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 God is not having you wait just so that you can wear away and your faith can die. Hallelujah. But God is building a momentum so that the message will be preached with the miraculous. What message? The message that Jesus is not in that grave anymore. The message that God still heals your body. The message, hallelujah, that all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. 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 So yes, it was the 50th day, but it was also the seventh day. Hallelujah. And on that seventh day, praise God, when it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one mind. Hallelujah. And suddenly, praise God. Hallelujah. And I find it interesting that it was the seventh day. Praise God. There's something about that seventh day, just like in the beginning, on that seventh day where God rested from his works. Praise God. I believe that on that seventh day when that wind began to blow, hallelujah, there was a rest entering into the atmosphere that would explode all over the world. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says this is the rest. Hallelujah. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you can rest from your works of sin. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you can rest from your worry, rest from depression. You can rest in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And it's not over. It didn't end in the book, but it's still happening right now. There's rest in this room. Hallelujah. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. It happened suddenly on that day, but it didn't happen suddenly the next day. They had to wait for that suddenly moment. Days passed. Weeks passed. It was over a month. They had to wait to see that suddenly from when Jesus began to do his work on the cross. God has a suddenly in this room. And you've been waiting to see what God has told you. Hallelujah. And I feel to speak this to this congregation that many of you, you believe God. You've gotten words from God. You've been prayed over. You've had people speak over you. There are people that have been fasting for you. You fasted for yourself. And you know God is able, but you haven't seen it yet. I want to tell you, don't lose your faith. Hallelujah. There's going to be a resurrection of your faith today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak it into this atmosphere that the gift of faith will begin to fall upon every believer right now. Hallelujah. Not just saving faith, but faith to believe that even if God, hallelujah, hasn't done it yet, he's not finished. Hallelujah. There's still a work that he's doing even now. And I might not see it, but I'm going to still say it. If God said it, I'm going to say it. If God said it, I'm going to see it. Come on, somebody praise God if you believe that dead things still come alive. Hallelujah. 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 And that suddenly began to empower those disciples that were in that upper room. So much so, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible says that Peter could now, after being empowered by that moment, it wasn't just a moment, but something was being built. Hallelujah. There was a momentum being built. Hallelujah. So that he could stand up with the rest of the disciples and begin to say, hallelujah, men and brethren, these are not drunk as he supposed, but this is that which was spoken by the prophets. Hallelujah. You are now seeing the fulfillment of something that was spoken years ago. You might have forgotten about it, but God did it. You might have forgot, but God did it. Hallelujah. And you need to grab a hold of that promise of God and say, Lord, I'm not forgetting what you said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stands up with the 11. Hallelujah. When they hear what Peter says, say, well, what are we going to do? They're pricked in their hearts. He says, this is what you need to do. Now he's empowered. Now he can speak emphatically and said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Later on, the Bible says there were added unto them, hallelujah, 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. The next chapter, they're on their way to church, and before they darken the doors of that temple, hallelujah, the Bible says there's a man that's lame, hallelujah, that never walked in his life, and they looked at him and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. You know what I have? I have a promise that we've been waiting on, and God gave me a suddenly. So now I'm going to give you what I've got. I got a suddenly in my spirit. So now suddenly God's going to do a miracle in you. Hallelujah. It was the witness and the testimony of what God did for them that they displayed. And God did it for others. I'm telling you right now that God is not just having you believe and sacrifice and fast and pray just for the sake of developing property. Hallelujah. God did not call you to be glorified property managers. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for what God is doing, and God is going to help you be a good steward over what you've invested in. But you're building it, and God's going to fill it. How is he going to feel that? He's going to feel that by feeling you. And so guess what? In this service, God is going to release us suddenly in this atmosphere. And there are people that will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when they do, hallelujah, God is building momentum for the message of the truth of the gospel in Atlanta. And God has started it in a moment, but it doesn't stop with the moment. It stops. It starts with the moment, but it's building a momentum. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of this revival, there's preachers being birthed out of this revival. Hallelujah. There's missionaries in this room that's going to be birthed out of your sacrificial giving. Hallelujah. When you build that building, it's not just going to be a saving station. It's going to be a sending station. Hallelujah. We're more pastors. Hallelujah. We're come out of that. Hallelujah. More evangelists. Hallelujah. More Bible study teachers. Hallelujah. More people that believe in the body will begin to accept the fact that God has rested the gifts of the Spirit upon the congregation, and it's not just from the pulpit, but the power is also in the pew. Lift your hands right now. Hallelujah. God's about to display, hallelujah, his power in this place. And I need you to begin to stir up the atmosphere with your worship right now. Come on, realize what God is trying to do. Realize what God is trying to do. Hallelujah. He might be stretching you, but it's not for you to crumble under the pressure. Hallelujah. It's so that God can increase your faith. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Dead things come alive. Come on, remain standing. Hallelujah. Remain standing. Can I tell you, the same miracles that was in Lucas Anointed Oil Stadium is in this room right now. Hallelujah. 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 And there might not be 1,000 people that'll get the Holy Ghost in this service because there's not 1,000 people in this service that need it. But I can tell you right now, if you need it, you can get it right now. Every soul that's empty, every soul that's seeking, every soul that's thirsty, hallelujah, that's about to be poured out. That river of living water is in this room. It's in this room. It's in. Hallelujah. And all God needs is someone that says, I believe it. Miracles happening. Keep your hands lifted. It was posted. Man had mobility issues. I don't know if he couldn't walk or just couldn't walk properly, but saw a post from NAYC. This man got up out of that wheelchair. God healed him instantly. Amen. I don't know if that guy prayed for healing before. I don't know if he was waiting a long time, but suddenly. Well, I've seen that. I've seen it when I was. I saw a woman back in Tennessee. Woman got hit by a truck. Couldn't walk properly. In that service, the word went forth and said, if you're willing to take a risk, go ahead and prove God right now. She was looking around to see if anybody else is going to get healed. Lo and behold, God turned around, looked at her and said, you. I'm looking for somebody, you. She let go of that walker, grabbed my hand, went up to the front. I let go of her. She began to skip around in the front of that church. Oh, hallelujah. She just got hit by a truck last week, and God healed her legs in that service. Hallelujah. I seen it. Well, before you say, well, it's because you're a preacher. You probably pray 15 hours a day, you know. No, I've seen young people. young people praying. Young man, he was in the Philippines. I was just telling, I believe I was telling Pastor or one of the ministers. I was in the Philippines a few weeks back and saw a young man. They put a man that couldn't walk right in the front. A young man went down. I mean, nobody, you look at this guy, they're probably not going to ask this guy to preach the next youth congress. But he believed something. He believed something that was impossible to happen. He went over there, grabbed that man by both of his hands. The man stood up and began to walk. He let him go. He began to walk across that arena. 4,000 people, hallelujah, filled that basketball stadium in the middle of Cebu, Philippines. Hallelujah. And the place erupted as he began to walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Miracles can happen in this place. Not just in Lucas Oil, not just in overseas. I know, oh yeah, that's a big event. So those things happen in a big event. No, they happen in the local church. Hallelujah. Can I tell you right now, hallelujah, that those things happen in the local church. The gifts of healing are for the local body of believers, and signs are going to follow you. I feel it right now. There's a hesitancy. There's a little pushback in your spirit right now because you're like, well, yeah, I heard that before. Maybe I haven't seen it. You might not have seen it yet, but that doesn't mean God can't do it. Hallelujah. And I'm just stupid enough to believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. Doesn't take somebody with a high degree. It just takes somebody with a high degree of faith. Hallelujah. Some people call it crazy faith. Hallelujah. But it's crazy until it happens. Then it just makes sense. Oh, yeah. God's a healer. Amen. But before it happens, how many can act upon what they believe? Lift your hands right now. Here it comes. Hallelujah. It's in the room. It's in the room. It's in the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.